y'all fixing to get woke up even more. There's some more good stuff coming up right now. We are honored this morning to have Trey Johnson and his family with him. And Trey he's actually a pastor to the Cowboys out in the rodeo circuit. He was a rookie of the year in the pro rodeo, PRCA, and he's won a lot of large rodeos, and that's not really the main thing with Trey. The main thing with Trey is that he loves Jesus, and he is a fan of Jesus, not just a fan, but a follower. I don't like that anyway. I don't like the fan business. No need to get into that. I don't like this Jesus fan business. We're going to be a follower, amen? I'm going to raise up. And so Pastor Trey, he's a great friend of ours and has been so faithful to God for so long and just proven himself as a follower of Christ. And he's helped us with our camp this week. And a lot of the kids have found Christ because Trey came and gave his time and his talent to God. And so I'd like for you just to welcome him. We're so honored to have you today, Trey.
Thank you, Pastor. I love you. Yes, sir. Would y'all give Pastor Randy a hand clap? He just does such a great job. Thank you. Man, how about the worship team, huh? Man, glory to God. Let's give them a hand clap. They just did a great job. Like Pastor said, you know, my name is Trey Johnson. You can follow us on all the social media stuff. You can download Trey Johnson Ministries app. We've got a lot of things going. Things to help in your relationship with God. That's why we do what we do. And so please help yourself to that. We have some product left out in the foyer. What I'm going to teach on today is the armor of God. And there's about 4 hours worth of teaching specifically on the armor that you can help yourself to out there whenever you're leaving. There's some other teachings and stuff. Like Pastor said, my lovely wife, I'd ask them not to do that, Pastor Randy, just so I thank you so much for being a servant, though. I didn't want somebody to get in trouble. Thank you. Sometimes I get going and, you know, I found out that a stool kind of helps me calm down a little bit. Sometimes I got to hang on to it a little bit so I don't get going too fast. Like I say, my lovely wife, Heather, is here with me this morning. And Hayes, my daughter, Macy, our other daughter, Chloe, she will get her later this afternoon. And it's a privilege to be here this morning. I don't take the opportunity lightly to get to share with you on Father's Day. Our fathers, can we just have our fathers stand to their feet right now? Fathers, if you're a father, would you just stand to your feet? Thank you. Thank you for being a father. You may be seated. Yeah, don't forget your dad. I have a great dad, and my earthly father is a great man, but my heavenly father is even greater. Right. And this morning, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to help me communicate in such a way that we as the children of God see what our Father has given us to help us be everything he's called and created us to be. So if you would turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, and we're gonna read some scripture here. And then we're going to touch on some things that will help us win in life. I was praying about what I was going to teach this weekend and on Father's Day and just what a special day it is. And we've been teaching on the armor of God this week at the camp, and it just felt like there's going to be a continual flow of the anointing of God on the armor to share with the body of believers. So for the next little bit, I'm asking you to expect to hear God. I'm asking you to believe for answers for your life, that no matter where you're at or what you're going through, that the Spirit of God is revealing the heart of the Father to us, and that we leave here changed. We leave here with a difference on the inside of us. We leave here with a new insight, a new revelation of what God our Father has for us. What a great honor to be in the presence of our Heavenly Father and to take what He's given us and to actually live it out, to actually apply it, to actually be the people God has called and created us to be. You know, He has called us to win in life. He has called us to be light in darkness. He has called us to be salt, to be agents of change. He's called us to be difference makers. No matter what your past is, no matter what you've gone through, that's the way your Heavenly Father sees you. He sees you through the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus, and He sees your potential. You know, when I was a little boy, I would put my dad's hat on. Speaking of the armor of God, I'd put my dad's hat on sometimes, and it was too big for me. Even now, since I don't have hair, you know, if I have wear a felt hat sometimes, and I get to preaching and get to sweating, you know, I'll turn and my hat will stay one direction, but my head will go the other way. Because when you have hair, it'll kind of latch on a little bit. When you don't, I mean, it just slides around. But whenever I was a boy, I'd put my dad's hat on and it'd be too big. Did you ever do that or wear his boots, you know? My mom and dad knew that I would grow in to the equipment of my dad. You know, the thing about our Heavenly Father is, you know, I'm reminded of Hannah whenever she brought her son and presented him to the priest Eli and committed him to the Lord. And she brought him to the house of God once he got of age. And every year she would make a garment that was a little bit too big for him. Because throughout the process of time, he would grow in to that garment. And then the next year she would come with another garment because she knew that he was going to grow. And he just kept growing into the garments. And you know, each and every one of us, there is the garment of our destiny and purpose that God has for our life. And get this, he isn't going to shrink down his dream for your life just because you don't want to grow. Now, if we'll stay in the process, just like a young child, we'll grow into our garment. We'll grow into what God has for us. He's given us, our Father has given us this armor that's designed specifically for you and I. So in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, I want to repeat that again. I feel like I'm supposed to repeat that again. God will not shrink down your garment of assignment. He expects us to grow into who we are called to be in Christ Jesus. Don't you dare ask for him to shrink down the size of his dream for your life. Don't you dare back off of what God has called and created you to do. Don't you dare. I know life can be tough and things can be difficult, but don't you dare back off. You have what it takes to be who God has called and created you to be. I want to encourage you, make a decision that you're going to grow and you're going to grow on purpose. You're going to become everything God has called and created you to be. Yes. One guy said, don't pray that life would become easier. Pray that you would get better. Our Heavenly Father has designed some things for you and I, and he expects us to win. We travel all over the country and all over the world, and the body of Christ is not the body of Christ's. We're called to be the body of Christ, the anointed one and his anointing. And you know what the anointing of God is designed to do? When the anointing of God, which is the presence of God, showed up in a person's life, it removed every burden and it destroyed every yoke. Every burden and every yoke. We as God's children, it is in our DNA for us to overcome and for us to win. We are not a bunch of pansies. We are children of the Most High God, and God is wanting us to get a hold of his word and to grow and to become and to rise up and to be the difference makers we're called to be in our spheres of influence. But it takes a choice and it takes a decision that I'm going to wear the armor of God and I'm going to wear it on purpose. I'm going to wear the helmet and I'm going to wear it on purpose. I'm going to take my sword and I'm going to use it on purpose. I'm going to put my belt of truth on purpose. I'm going to put my shoes on of peace and I'm going to do it on purpose. I'm going to put my breastplate of righteousness on, and I'm going to stand in right standing with Almighty God, and I'm going to do it on purpose because that's who I am in Christ Jesus. It's time for the body of Christ for us to rise up. And there are people in this sanctuary this morning, those of you watching online, that you know that there's more on the inside of you, and you've backed off because life has gotten hard, and you've backed off because things haven't worked out the way you thought they would, and you've backed off because of what your mom said and your dad said and your friend said and circumstances, and Aunt Boo Boo did this and Uncle Ding Dong did this, and so you're just backed off. And the Holy Spirit is touching your heart. And he's saying, you know there's more in you. Right. Fathers, it starts with us. There's more in us. There's more in us. There's more in us. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, and this is where Paul, he starts. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. This week at the camp, we would have them, before they'd ride in the box there, I'd have them declare that scripture before they even ran a steer. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against all the wiles of the enemy. Why? Because it's important to have the word of God in us. But right here, I want to paint a picture for you just real quick. Picture Paul, when he wrote this book, the book of Ephesus here, he spent a lot of his time in prison. And when he was in prison, he was attached to a Roman soldier who was decked out from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. And as Paul spent time looking at this Roman soldier day in and day out, the Holy Spirit began to take a natural example and to reveal to him a spiritual truth about what you and I have, its children in the army of God. And the Holy Spirit did not start at the helmet. He did not start at the shoes. You know where he started? He started at the belt of truth. Now, this is very interesting because when I walk into some place as a man, I don't say, man, did you see that guy's belt? I mean, that was a good-looking belt right there. Right? Women, you don't go in and say, man, did you see her belt? No, you say, oh, look at her skirt. Look at her shoes. You know, right? But Paul, he started out with the belt of truth. Why would he start out with the belt of truth? Because the belt of truth holds everything else together of the armor of God. The belt of truth is the word of God, the written word of God. And he's letting us know that without the belt of truth, the rest of the armor can come undone. But if we keep our belt of truth on, everything else stays in place. If we keep the word of God first place in our life, everything else stays in place. If we keep the word of God first place in our life, we don't lose our sense of righteousness in battle. Because whenever they would go to battle, and if they didn't have their belt on, they might start out on purpose and they might start out in stride. But as it got more intense, that breastplate of righteousness could begin to flap, and they could flap off of them if they don't have their belt of truth on. You get in the battle of life and you get away from the word of God. You take off your belt of truth, you can lose your sense of righteousness. I didn't say you lose your righteousness, you lose your sense. That confidence, that boldness that you belong in the winner's circle. You belong overcoming. You belong on the winner's side. You belong. You belong. And he says, finally, my brethren, the church at Ephesus at this time, they were the mega church of the time. They were the powerhouse of the day. Paul had started the church, and Paul had spent 3 years of his life discipling and pouring into this church. And at this church, just to give you an idea, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was at this church. John was at this church. He moved his ministry headquarters to the church at Ephesus. Apollos preached here. Priscilla preached here. Aquila preached here. All the powerhouses of the day were at the church at Ephesus. In this church, they were very intellectual. I mean, they knew the Bible in and out. You could ask them a question and they could spit out the answer. But Paul got down to the end of this, end of the book of Ephesians, and he said, finally, my brethren, finally is indicating it's a word used that it's great. That in chapter 1 and in chapter 2, you learned about grace and salvation. And chapter 3 and 4 and 5, you learned about the structure of the home. And you learned about putting off the old man and putting on the new man. And you learned about the apostle and prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist. And you learned about all these great things. And that is great. But it's time, finally, if you haven't got any of that, finally, you got to get this. If you're going to walk in that, you finally got to get the understanding of the armor of God. Finally, is saying, take it from your head to your heart. Don't just know about salvation in your head. You've got to have it in your heart and put the helmet on. Don't just take what you know about the written word of God and put it on and begin to apply it to your life. Take it from your head to in your hand to become a sword that you can win with. Take the word that you know about peace and put on the shoes of peace. He's saying we've got to take it from our head to our heart. Right. And when we take it from our head to our heart, then we see it in our life. And he says, finally, my brethren, very powerful word. The word my brethren was a medical term used at this time. And it was a doctor that would see two twins in a womb. And he would say, my brethren. In other words, I would see two identical twins, two people that are cut from the same cloth. He used the word my brethren. Paul is saying, I'm identifying with you. The same way I go through problems, I identify that you go through problems. The same way I deal with physical things, you deal with physical things. The same way I deal with relationship things, you deal with relationship things. My brethren, he was identifying. But also during this time, there was a man by the name of Alexander the Great. He was the warrior of the time. By the time he is 18, he had conquered the Eastern Empire. By the time he is 33, he had conquered the Western Empire. He had conquered Asia, Greece, Turkey. The list goes on and on. That Alexander the Great, he kicked tail and he took names. And so he was reverenced by all, and all the soldiers and all the warriors of the kingdom during that time, they wanted to identify with Alexander the Great. So what they would do throughout the year is they would have a stage like this, and they'd have a banquet. And throughout the years in different battles and different places, the commanders would watch the other warriors, and the warriors that stood out, the warriors that did not think about losing, the warriors that did not think about quitting, they got up and you could see it. See, you can see a winner in their eyes, the way they carry themselves. The way they think, the way they talk, the way they walk, they're just different. Yeah, right. And we're the body of Christ. The spirit of victory is in us and on us. We don't have a victim mentality. It's time for us to have a victor mentality. Yeah, right. And these commanders would watch these warriors, and then they would have this banquet. And what they would do, they'd start from one end to the other. And Alexander the Great, just a young man, but he was a warrior. And he would go from one warrior to the next, and he would wrap his arm around those warriors, and he would say, "My brethren." In other words, identifying the same way I think when my brethren thinks win. The same way I kick tail and take names, my brethren kicks tails and takes name. The same way I live victory, my brethren. It was one of the greatest honors to have Alexander the Great wrap his arm around and say, "I identify with this warrior. We are cut from the same cloth." This morning, the Holy Spirit of God is inviting every one of you up on stage, and he's wanting you to single file line right here, one after the other, and he's going down the line, and he's saying, "My brethren, I've created you to win, my brethren. No matter what you're facing, you've got what it takes to overcome, my brethren." He's inviting you up on stage to see yourself the way that God the Father sees you. He sees you as victorious. He sees you as an overcomer. He sees you as a warrior. He sees you as a winner. He sees greatness in you coming out. He sees your gifts flourishing. He sees your passion coming alive. He sees you walking in your dream and destiny. My brethren. Your Father, the greatest present we could give our Heavenly Father on Father's Day is to receive what he is saying is ours. Now, whenever they would come in to the Roman army, they just didn't give them a one-size-fit-all armor. They didn't give everybody the same size helmet because it would have been, didn't give them all the same size shoes because it'd be like galoshes. Some of you would walk out of your shoes, right? No, when they come in, they would measure them. They'd measure their legs, and they'd measure their chest, and they'd measure their arms, and they'd measure their hands. And they would give them swords designed for their hands, and shields designed for their arms, and breastplates designed for them, and shoes that fit their feet. Just like when you come into the family of God, God has given you the faith you need to be all that God has called and created you to be. He's given you the sword that you can fight with. He's given you the shield that you can lift. He's given you the breastplate that you can wear. He's given you the shoes that you can walk in. He's given you what you need to be everything he's called and created you to be. You don't need more faith. We just need to use the faith that we got. We don't need more mercy. We don't need more grace. We've got what we need. God has already equipped us. So I want you to see this. He's not only inviting you up on stage and wrapping his arm around you, but then he's pointing to the armor that he has designed for you. And he says, "You see that helmet right there? That helmet of salvation, it doesn't mean just going to heaven." He's saying that helmet is designed to go right on your head. Because there's an enemy out there, and that enemy, see, the helmet of salvation, it would cover below their neck right there, the front and back. And the reason they wore the helmet of salvation is because the enemy was coming with the battle axe. And if he could continue to chop away at their head, and if they didn't have their helmet on right, their head would come right off. And you and I, in this world, the enemy goes right after our head, after our thinking, and he tries to chop away your belief in the power of God. He tries to chop away your belief in the healing of God. He tries to chop away your belief in the blessing of God. He tries to chop away your belief in the forgiveness of God. He tries to chop away your belief in the mercy of God. He tries to chop and chop and chop and chop until you don't believe anything except, "Well, at least I'm going to heaven." But your Father points at that helmet and he says, "There's so much more. that helmet is designed to protect your mind, that whenever you grab the word of God and you wrap it around your mind, you say, I don't care what the doctors have said. You're thinking that I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. I don't care what the economy says. Your thinking is wrapped with the word that God supplies all of my needs. I don't care what my flesh is screaming to me. My word says that he delivers me from all manners of sickness and all manner of disease. You take the helmet and you put it on. You take the word and you put it on. That word helmet there means, you know, 2 Timothy 1:7, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. Sound mind in the Greek means a saved mind. That how would my mind think, follow me here, how would your mind think if it thought like a saved mind? The word saved doesn't just mean going to heaven. The word saved means healing, provision, soundness, wholeness in every area of life. That's what salvation means. So how would my mind think if it thought healed? How would my mind think if it thought victory? How would my mind think if it thought redeemed? How would my mind, this is why Paul says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word re, anytime it's in front of a word, it always means to bring back to the original. So he says, you are born again, child of God. You've been redeemed. The word deem means to purchase. Re means you've been purchased to bring you back to who you originally created to be. He says, now that you've been redeemed, now renew your mind. Take your mind and bring it back to the way it was originally created to think. Your mind was not originally created to think on defeat, on sickness, on lack, on anything broken. Your mind was created to think on victory. And the whole time, your father is pointing to that helmet that he's given you. And his desire from a father, he's a good father, and he's saying, please, please put this on because it'll protect the way you think. And if you protect the way you think, it'll protect your life. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Say the whole armor of God. The whole armor of God. In other words, you don't show up with just a smile and your sword. Naked as a jaybird everywhere else. And if he's telling us to put on the whole armor of God, to take up the shield of faith, letting us know we have a choice. We have a choice whether we take up the shield of faith, whether we take up the lance, whether we take up the helmet, whether we take up the breastplate of righteousness, whether we put on the whole armor of God. What happens whenever we take off our belt of truth? See, this is the only part of the weaponry that's gone from the unseen into the seen. This is the only part of the weaponry that we can physically hold. Why? Why would God do that? Because this is the central theme of our life, that if this holds the rest of the man together. I get out of this, my life begins to fall apart. I stay in this, it don't matter what you go through, you fight like a champion. You think, win, believe, win, talk, win, walk, win, you win. Amen. Some of you, you've laid down your shield because life has gotten hard. And every once in a while, you'll go over there and you'll pick up your shield, come to church and you pick it up, but there's cracks all in it. Because see, the shield that Paul is talking about here, it was a shield that has six layers of animal skin on it. And every day, the warrior, he would get up. This is a routine of a warrior that had winning on his mind. He would get up and he would take the shield and he would anoint it with oil to keep it pliable and to keep it moldable and to keep it soft. And not only would he rub it with oil, which represents you and I spending time with God and allowing the power of the Holy Spirit to take the word of God and rub it into the way you think, rub it into the way you talk, rub it into the way you walk, rub it into the way you live, rub it in. That's the anointing oil on our life. That's whenever you know that things begin to change because you're allowing him to rub it into your life. Not only would they rub it down with oil, but they would dip their shield in a tub of water before they went out on the battlefield. And the water represents the word of God. Ephesians 5:26 says that we're cleansed by the washing of the water of the word of God, that your faith is connected to the word of God. So now not only was it rubbed with oil, but now it's dipped in water. So when they ran out on the battlefield and they lifted up their shield of faith, when the enemy fired the dart at them, it would ricochet back at the enemy. And these darts during that time, they had combustible fluid in the inside of the shaft. It looks like just a regular arrow at first, but there was fluid inside the shaft of this arrow that whenever it hit, if it wasn't rubbed down with oil and dipped in water and it ricocheted back and boom, blow up on the enemy. But the shield had cracks in it. If the shield wasn't rubbed in oil, if the shield wasn't dipped in the word of God, if the shield wasn't taken care of, when the arrow was fired, boom! That fiery dart was the bomb of the day. And the enemy is after our life with those fiery darts, trying to stir our emotions, trying to ignite bitterness and anger and rage and generational curses and addiction and pornography. And the list goes on and on, firing those darts, boom, boom, right after the other. And not just to take you out, but to take out the whole church. Yeah, right. His job every day is to get up and to think, how can I kill? How can I steal? How can I destroy? And maybe he's fired darts at you year after year. He's shot them at your family year after year. Do, and you walk around with so much turmoil and shoes apiece. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't even have a shoes apiece. You go home and they're in your closet. I bet there's 50 pairs of boots there, but oh, there they are. It's time to dig back through all the junk in your life and grab the shoes of peace. Because see, these shoes that Paul talked about, they weren't a pair of jelly flip-flops. These shoes had spikes on them, some an inch, some 3 inches long. And these warriors would step on the battlefield. And there's also, they were trained to march, synchronized. And they had spikes on the bottom of them. You could hear these hundreds of soldiers coming for miles because they were in unison. Like the enemy is supposed to hear the body of Christ coming each and every day when we get up, that all of hell should tremble because you and I know who we are and where we're going. And they were trained that if anybody gets in your way, you don't say, excuse me, could you please get out of my way? They said, no, you're trained to get right over the top of them. If they fall down, it's their own fault because you have winning on your mind. Then they would get on the battlefield and these shoes of peace would have spikes in the bottom of them that they would plant their legs down in the ground and they would take steps towards the enemy on purpose and then they would plant those spikes into the ground and when the enemy came at them with the battle axe or came at them with the sword or came at them with the arrow and it just knocked them back like this, they weren't going anywhere because their shoes of peace were grabbing a hold of the earth and whenever they came back up with more focus, with more power, with more tenacity, with more courage because they had their shoes of peace planted in the ground. When we're planted in the word of God, no matter what life throws your way, it knocks you back. You come back with more being released from the inside coming out. He says, you have this armor so you can know that you're able. So you can know you're able to overcome, you're able to fulfill your dream and destiny, you're able for your marriage to be what it's supposed to be, you're able, you're able, you're able. Your heavenly Father is wrapping his arms around you saying, my brethren. He's wrapping his arms around you saying, do you realize you have what it takes to be everything God has called and created you to be? You have this sword. It's not supposed to be just an ornament in your house. It's a sword that's designed for your hand and it's designed to help you win. This breastplate of righteousness, it was designed specifically for you and you're able. Everything that the Father gives you, he's whispering into your heart, you're able. You're able. You're able. You're able. Every time you strap on that shield, you're able. Every morning that helmet goes on your head, you're able. You're able. You're able. The word able comes from a Greek word, dunamis, and it means dynamic power and it's working that you're able. He says, you're not moving on your own power. You're moving on my power. You're not going on your own strength. You're going on my strength. You are created in his image and in his likeness. Now you have his armor assigned to go forward to be who God has called and created you to be. You're able. You're able to win, church. You're able to overcome the sickness. You're able to overcome the financial situation. You are able to overcome the relational difficulties. I don't care what it is. You are able. We serve God Almighty, and he is saying this morning, please see yourself as able. In him, you're able. You're able. You're able. You're able. Some of you, you've laid the shield down. Some of you have taken the shoes off. Some of you have taken the belt off. Why is my life such a mess? And the Spirit of God would say, why have you taken off the belt I gave you? Some of you laid your lance of prayer down. Some of you have set your shield down. The list could go on and on. This morning, the Spirit of God is asking you, as an honor to your Heavenly Father that's given you the armor, expecting you to win, He's asking you, will you pick up your armor again this morning? Will you pick up your shield of faith and begin to rub it with oil again? Will you dip it in the water of the promises of God again and pick it back up? Will you put your helmet, the word of God, what you know of God's word, back on and straighten it on and allow it to be wrapped around your mind? Will you put it back on this morning and see yourself the way that God sees you, that you are able? If you've laid down your shield, if you laid down your armor because life has happened and you want to put it back on today, you want to pick it back up today, right where you're at, I want you just to slip your hand up saying, yeah, I'm going to pick it back up today. Yeah, I'm going to get back in the game today. Yeah, I'm going to run my race today. Yeah, I'm going to be all that God has called and created me to be. There's hands all over the sanctuary. What if, you can put your hands down. What if every one of us actually did what we just said we were going to do?
Yeah, that's right.
We're not playing church. We're not coming to church on the way to lunch, but we're making a decision. No more. I'm not playing. I'm putting my belt back on. I'm picking my shield back up. Devil, you better get out of your way. Get out of my way. It's a new day because he's going to come back around again. Remember when he tempted Jesus, said he left until another time was more opportune? But this time when he shows back up and he begins to try to chop away at your thinking, your head, he finds you with a helmet screwed down tight. No, God didn't give me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. I've got a sound mind. You have your mind so wrapped in the word of God, there's strength. Your feet are so planted in the word of God that no matter what life throws your way, you might rock back a little bit, but he finds you standing back up. Oh my gosh, who am I dealing with? He's not dealing with you. He's dealing with the power of God in you. He's dealing with the power of God on you. He's dealing with Jesus. See, whenever, before Jesus was baptized in water, before Jesus was baptized with the Holy Spirit, no devils acknowledged him. Did you recognize that? For 30 years, he was on the earth and he would walk by people, nothing happened, no stirring. But when the power of God came upon him and he stepped into his earthly ministry, why? Because they didn't see a man, they say they saw Almighty God. And when you come into the family of God and you put on their armor, they don't see you, they see Jesus. They see the armor of who? God, they see the armor of God. They see the helmet of salvation. They see the breastplate of righteousness. They see the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead now in your life, that now it's not you, now it's the greater one in you. And they're going, ah!
That's right.
Because we finally begin to see ourselves the way that God sees us. That's when the scripture, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, becomes a reality. As an honor to your Heavenly Father, will you pick up your armor today and be all that God's called and created you to be?
Yes.
Would you bow your heads, close your eyes? Every person thinking, you're created for more. People are counting on you to put your armor back on. Every one of you here, you're not here by coincidence. You're here directed by God. And first and foremost, I want to ask you, do you know that you're in the army of God? Do you know that you're in the family of God? Are you certain that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Picture this, if you were to stand before God right now and God begins to go through the book of life, would your name be written on that? Could he find your name on that book? Can you recall the moment that you asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior? Can you recall the moment that you called upon the name of Jesus? Are you certain where you're going to spend eternity? If you're not certain about where you're going to spend eternity, if you've never called upon the name of the Lord Jesus, if you were to die today, you don't know whether you would go to heaven or whether you would go to hell. If you want to eliminate that question mark, if you want to be certain where you're going to spend eternity, If you would like to ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart, to be your Lord and Savior for the very first time, on the count of three, right where you're sitting, I want you to slip your hand up in the air saying, yes, I want to do that for the very first time in my life today. One, two, three. Would you slip your hand up in the air saying, yes, God sees those hands back there and this hand here and all these hands over here on the right. Is there anybody else that says yes? Hold your hand up. Our ushers are getting Bibles to you right now. There's hands right down here. Please hold them up because they want to get Bibles to you. Anybody else that says, yes, I'm making this decision for the very first time in the middle, these three right here, those over there on the side. Is there anybody else that said, yes, I made that decision. I'm making that decision for the very first time. Now, the rest of you with heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to pray over you that today is a day of change for us. Today is a day we put on our armor. Right? I want you to don't just sit there and let words just hit your earlobes. I want you to receive with your heart. Okay, let's be difference makers. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, every person that lifted their hand that said they're going to put back on their armor today, Holy Spirit, I ask you just to engulf them. I ask you to stir them. I ask you to help them see themselves the way that you see them, that there's a desire, there's a hunger, there's passion on the inside of them to be the warriors that they're created to be. Every demon of addiction that has been assigned to their family, you bow your knee in the name of Jesus. Every generational curse, your power is broken in the name of Jesus. There's a new person in town, a person that's walking in their armor, walking in their helmet, using their sword. Their feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. A new church arises. Difference makers arise in this house today in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for helping them. I thank you for helping them. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Pastor Randy, would you go ahead and come on up? I'll let you give instruction here. Thank you so much for receiving the word of God this morning. If you need prayer for anything, any physical symptom in your body, whatever it is in your life, our prayer team's going to be up here. Heather and I will be up here. We love you. God bless you guys, and we'll see you another time. Pastor Randy, I love you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Trey. Thank you. Thank you. Listen to me. If you received Christ as your personal Savior, if you raised your hand, I need to pray with you. Lunch is coming, but that's okay. We got more important business. If you raised your hand, could you come down here and let me pray with you. Everybody raise your hand. Come on down. If you want to invite Christ to come into your heart, come on. I need to. Come on. Come on. I know there's about 8 or 10 of y'all, so come on. Everybody, thank you. Yeah. Anybody else? Come on. Hey, listen, it's time to put on armor, amen? Jesus wasn't ashamed of us whenever he went to the cross. Anybody else? Come on down. Oh, I'm so proud of you. Is this the one? Tell me your name. What's your name?
Carter.
I love you, buddy. Anybody else? Okay. Here's what I'll say to you. I'm going to pray a prayer for y'all right now. We got one more coming? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, good. Thank you, Randy. Oh, thank God. Sometimes we just got to give the Lord time, amen? Anybody else? If your heart's beating real fast, that's Jesus in the middle of you going, you better get up out of your chair right now. Amen? Sweet. Bless you, buddy. Bless you, buddy. We're proud of you. Bless you, girl. Bless you, girl. Anybody else? Yeah, look at there. Yep, come on, guys. Come on. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, buddy. Proud of you. Thank you. Anybody else? Last call. If you didn't come down, no condemnation here. One of the things about the armor is God lets us choose to put it on. And he is an honoring God, and he'll honor you. And he'll wait for you. Amen. I'm so thankful for God's grace. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I mean, he just waits till we're ready. And what a privilege. I want to pray with you. Let me pray with you. I'm just going to invite you to repeat after me. Y'all help us out there. Say, dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Lord, I am a sinner. Please forgive me. I invite you into my heart. I invite you into my life. From this day forward, I give my life to you. Help me to read my Bible, to pray, show up for church, and get baptized. I love you, Jesus. Teach me to love you more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now here's what I want to say to y'all. We can't help you if you don't show back up. It's not like one shot and it's all over. You got to grow. It's just like Pastor Trey was talking about. But thank you so much. And just build on what God's doing in your heart right now. And it's worth it. Amen. We love y'all. Go visit these guys over here for just a second if you don't mind. Bless you, Carter. Love you, buddy. Will you stand with me, please? Had a great service today. Great time. Thank you all so much for coming. It wouldn't be the same if it wasn't for you. It wouldn't be near as much fun. We'd do it, but it wouldn't be near as much fun. We're glad that you're here. Praise the Lord. Keep all the kids in your prayer that gave their life to the Lord this past week. Mention them in prayer when you think about it. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you, Lord, that we can put on the whole armor of God. We choose to do that, oh God. I pray your blessings on your people today. Help us, Lord, to be faithful people, full of faith. We thank you, Lord, for your many, many blessings. We thank you, Lord, bless Pastor Trey and his family. Just supply all of their needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus our Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. God bless y'all. We love you. Have a great day.